God, he got off the plane, and here he was with a great big coat on. You know, he was from out there. Out there, why, it was always chilly in the evening. And his son came over from Indiana. He was working over there. His younger son, who died prematurely, but he came over there, and the three of us went to took a ball game in, and then, of course, I came back home, and he flew back out. But that was way up in the 70s.
What was the postmaster's name?
Dean Haney.
Uh-huh. And?
I-N-E-Y.
Huh. And what was his relationship to the railroad?
He had worked on the railroad, but his job, the only job he had now was the postmaster job. The only thing is that he knew all of these railroad men. And so whenever I'd have him for a dinner, I'd have maybe 12 or 15 of them. And I'd have Dean, because he knew how to get in touch with those guys, you know. And we'd get him, and we'd go to a place in Ouray. And I think it was 35 cents per meal at that time. And but we'd get in, and they'd get to spinning yarns, and it'd be almost until they nearly had to kick us out when it got too late, you know, in the evening. And I used to get a kick out of it. I used to record the remarks. I had all that stuff. I don't even know what happened to that stuff.
If you ever find what you recorded and wrote down, that'd be fun to have it here.
I would just love to listen to it once again.
You know.
But I don't know whatever happened to it. Huh. So see, I had my fingers in too many things. I had an active practice, and then I got into all of these things.
Now, I think your son told me that the offices which had the records in them at near the end were in the roundhouse. Is that right? Is that what?
That's not right. The offices that the offices first were the old offices. Now, Dean Haney's son ran a grocery store, and this grocery store was on the first floor of a building downtown what little downtown there was of Ridgeway. The third floor of that is where all these papers were. And they moved that. I don't know if they condemned the place or if somebody bought the place or what happened, but anyway, that's when they moved all of these records and put them in the boxcar. Then there was a kind of a halfway of a battle. Richardson, I know, was one. I don't know who the other one was. Trying to get these records. And I just happened in at the right time and under the right circumstances. Richardson probably would have got them. I don't know, because I don't know who else was in the running for it. But when they did, it was right near the old roundhouse. These two boxcars, in fact, there were about four boxcars, but two of them had this stuff in. And other cars were all parked out the out around the roundhouse, but they were not in the roundhouse.
Huh. And what became of all the other records, the ones that you didn't fit into your car?
No, I imagine that my nemesis probably got them. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I kind of think, because he's the only one that would know what was that there was something gone. Because I got news for you. If you look at your dates that you got on there, you got a fairly good sampling of a lot of stuff. Of course, some of it's incomplete, but I didn't have, all I had was an automobile. And I hauled all that stuff back to my home.
Well, we're sure grateful that you did that. It's a wonderful collection.
Chuck and I had it, the binding, that was done in, the binding was done in Bloomington. They did it with those red books, you know.
Yeah.
All of those, that bindings were done. And I've been trying to think of the bindery, but apparently they're out of business now, because I have the phone directories and everything from there. I just live 30 miles from there now. And I've been trying to find out the name of the bindery there, because they were there from the time of to the 90s. But Bloomington was always, that that's Great Lincoln Country, you know.
Uh-huh.
There, that's the heart of the Lincoln Country. That's how I got into this Lincoln bit.
Huh. Now, how did you decide what to put in each volume? Like, what kind of order were they in when you looked at these records? And
to get when we sent the things in, to go through them and try to get some semblance of sequence. Now, the only thing is that sometimes I would run out of sequence because there would be none. And it was kind of difficult because it was trying to put these things with some sense of order, but it was almost impossible because there was too many areas that were missing.
Yeah.
Because there was two of these narrow gauge boxcars. That's just about a half of a big boxcar, you know. And so I would have had to have a pretty good sized truck to take all of it.
Yeah.
You'd have to build a new school out there to get all of it.
Well, we are planning to build a new Center of Southwest Studies.
Question.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you ever hear of Sidney Jocknick?
No.
I wondered if you had his book, because it's all written about this part of the country.
Oh, well, I'll have to look it up in the catalog and see if we have that.
Years ago, I paid $100 for a copy.
Huh. Well, I'll look it up and let you know.
Okay. I'd be glad to donate to you, and then I was also tied in with this Rio Grande, where they did the reprinting of books. You know, are you acquainted with any of them?
No. But I've seen a couple of these beautiful new books.
See, they take all old ones and print them up. And with this McCoy fella, and I got friendly with him, and I was on the... I signed a contract with him to take a copy of everything that he put out. And, of course, he got this Jocknick, but I wasn't going to give my Jocknick there to have him cut it, you know, break it all up and copy it and then try to put it back together again. Because I paid $100 for my copy. And so I've got the Rio Grande copy and I've got that copy.
Huh. How do you spell his last name, Sid?
O-C-K-N-I-C-K. His first name, S-Y-D-N-E-Y. Or S-I-D-N-E-Y.
Uh-huh. And what was the name? What's the name of that book?
Reflections. I've got it right out here. Reflections of... Early Days, Western Slope, Colorado, by Sidney Jocknick.
Okay. Well, I'll look it up and let you know. Can you talk some about you and Bob Richardson?
Well, I don't know. I'm a peculiar individual. I think that males are males and females are females, and the Almighty made two different kinds for a reason. And I don't know. To me, it's when you get some that aren't, to me, that's kind of revolting, and that's why I don't even like to think of anything like that. That's my reason. That's not on the record, though.
Uh-huh. Sure. But I was just, I just wondered in terms of, your relationship with him in terms of the records and his reaction when he found you got the record.
He was always, anyway, anybody got it, he always had been that way. But I had no dealings with him. I avoided him. I couldn't stand to be around him. But I know that he was hot under the collar. That didn't make any difference to me. But Ed is the one that let me in there. And he was the boss man there at the time. And, he didn't bother me a bit. But I know he put some kind of halfway nasty things in a publication that he... and I saw it. All I did was just laugh. It didn't make a difference to me. Anybody know him, know what kind he is.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us some more stories about pertaining to the records or the railroad? Do you have any other ones that you've been thinking about?
Gosh, I'll tell you, I've just forgot so darn many of them. I used to be able to spin all kinds of yarns about that. I'm a jack of all trades and master of none, I would think.
Oh.
Fortunately, I was fortunate with my practice. Thank God. But No, we used to record. In fact, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
I had a friend by the name of Simpson here, and he went out with me one time to Colorado on a February, and 3 months later he moved out there. Once he saw it out there, that was it. And Simpson and I used to go out there, and I had an inverter for current in my automobile, and we used to go at night and go along the Rio Grande DNRG tracks and record these locomotives. And of course they'd stop when they'd see the lights there alongside of the track. And I recorded, I'm going to say, about 50 or 60 of those, but I don't know whatever happened to them. I just don't know whatever happened to the recordings. They were really good too.
Huh.
But they were recorded on Ampex recording machine.
Huh.
And that was a real good professional piece of equipment. I don't know whatever happened to those.
Well, maybe they'll turn up one day. Yeah.
Of course, it's way out of date now.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Now, your son Al seems to have taken up the bug of being interested in the narrow gauge.
See, the whole thing started. One of my big hobbies was also photography. And I used to carry a Hasselblad, a Linhof Technica, and two Leicas with me every place that I went. And I recorded everything that I could record in photography, so forth, for years and years. I made trips, railroad trips, or trips to railroads all over the country, recording those. And I gave, practically gave those away, most of those away. Of course, my son took a good share of them, but the remainder all went to a neurosurgeon down in Decatur, the retired neurosurgeon. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to charge you, but you give me, just replace the film. And so he's the one that's got pictures and stuff down there.
Do you think Dr. Hubbard would be interested in donating any of those or the negatives?
No, I don't know. The only way that you can do it is find out and call him.
Yeah. Do you know his number or anything?
The only thing I know is, and I have no way of finding it. Well, ask my son.
Yeah, I should do that. That's right.
They're good. They're friendly. Good and friendly. Uh-huh. Now, he hasn't been to see me for, I'm going to say probably a year.
Uh-huh.
But if he's up this way, when they have any railroad doings of any kind, he comes up this way. And he hadn't been here for about a year. But that's what I would do. I would talk to my son.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm sure he's got his number.
Yeah. Well, a lot of our, we have two boxes of photo prints of the railroad, and a lot of them say negative number, but I think Dr. Hubbard is the one who has those negatives, so. Sometimes people want a copy of something, so.
I wonder if he isn't that, the copies that he took from me, probably a couple hundred copies he took from me, were on 35 millimeter.
Huh. Yeah.
Millimeter slides, and of course, a lot of those my son would have.
Uh-huh.
I imagine now, because that's what he does. He sells those slides. He's making a fortune out of
them. Huh. So that there are that many people that are interested in it, huh?
I never realized there were that many. Yeah, I think he puts out around $1,500 a month just for advertising in these railroad magazines.
Huh.
He's got a big piece of equipment there that they make these copies. These copies of. Because I know he took, everything that I had here, I had from railroads all over because I chased the darn things all over the globe. I can't think of anything else.
But were those photos in the boxcar, too?
No, not any of mine, no.
Uh-huh.
Not any that I got, no. From what I had myself, because I had an awful lot of them around here. And when my son, he went through them and he took what he wanted, that was it. That took about 98% of them. I doubt if I'd even got one.
Huh. So the prints that we ended up with, where did they come from, I wonder? Weren't they from you?
Oh. I think that they were in with that equipment.
Oh.
They're from the Rio Grande Southern.
Uh-huh.
With Southern Prince?
Yeah.
Those all came from the company.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. Well.
Got some mighty good friends.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would say, if they're
know, unless they started to decay, that could happen.
No, they're in good shape.
Copy them, good professional copy them, so that if they do go in the chute, there's a copy left.
That's right. Well, Dr. Shione, it's been wonderful talking to you.
Yeah. Appreciate the fact that you're interested enough, and I'm now bickering with the Lincoln Library. They put an outfit in the school paper here about 3 months or 5 months ago, and I don't look for advertising, you know. But they said there that the Lincoln Library had expanded, and they told about how many visitors they averaged to go through there and so forth. And going through said, we're not sure of the origin of the library, but it was donated, we understand it was donated to us many years ago from a doctor who lives in Southern Illinois. My son got a hold of that, and he wrote a terrible stinging letter. So I've been having the head crowned heads of the school down here for visitors.
Wow. Well, I think your memory is doing great, but we feel that we have a responsibility to people who donate materials to keep those records of their donation and, you know, have that be part of the collection information and to do a good job in preserving the records and making them available.
My Lincoln, I've got really choice stuff. I've got a book plate inside of each one with my name on it, inside that first cover. So all you have to do is, just look in and see. But to see my name there, nobody had ever thought of that. I don't. My son was all hot about that. And I also said, "Let it go. What can you do?" I said, "And 2 days after that's gone, like nobody will even know who gave the thing to them."
That's right. You know that you did, so that's what matters. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate talking to you. If I can help you with anything, let me know.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. Thanks so much, and thanks for sending the deed of gift form and oral release form. Well, they came yesterday. Yeah.
Good God, they were in the... Well, let me tell you about our mail from here. I sent a certified mail from here, and 11 days later it got to Columbus, Ohio.
Mm.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot worse than it was in 50 years ago.
Right, that's right. 11 days. And I got a letter from a monastery over in Laborreux, France. It took 5 days to get here. So in other words, it must be that figures in that Columbus, Ohio is farther than
Laborreux, France. Huh. It doesn't make sense, but it seems like the foreign letters get here faster than the ones in our country.
That's right. They do. Well, thanks again,
Tia. Okay. It's been great talking to you. Have a good day. Okay. You're feeling better, I bet, huh?
I finally got over that. I had that nearly a month. And I'll tell you, it just knocked the socks off.
Yeah.
I lost about 18 pounds.
Wow.
And it just knocked the socks off. Maybe now it's
Oh, well, you take care of yourself. Okay, thanks so much. Okay, bye. That was the end of the interview with Dr. Shione. The beep was me pushing the speaker button because to talk to him, I needed to be talking through the receiver, and to record it well, needed to talk through the speaker. The interview lasted almost 56 minutes. We really aren't Mickey Mouse. I'm not sure why our voices were recorded fast when you listen to this tape. Both of our voices are flying by faster and therefore higher than it really sounded, which is pretty horrible to hear. But I bet Catherine will be able to transcribe this and then people won't have to listen to these sounds. The reason which I've discovered is possibly that the cord going to the remote mic had been cut. It got caught in the case where we store the equipment. And this last time I held that rip closed, and it seems like it does better. Sorry about that, y'all. This concludes the interview with Dr. Shione, conducted over the phone on November 21st, 1996. Dr. Shione is in Moreton, Illinois, and I'm at the college in Durango.